Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 28 of the Three Quarter Time Podcast. I'm Janus. I'm joined by Cookie and Matigop, who are in the same studio together, boys. How you going?
We're here, T-Dub.
We are. We are in the studio. I've expanded it out so that we can fit Cookie and my large frames into the one set. I think it's turned out all right, though. I think we've turned out okay.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's good to be here. Janus, I'm sure you had an action-packed weekend. How was it?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I had a hit of golf on Saturday.
Oh, you had a hit of golf?
I had a hit of golf.
Jeez. Mini or actual?
What was that? No, we played Scramble.
Oh, okay.
We played Scramble.
What's Scramble?
It is good fun. It's basically you and a mate, you play off the best ball.
So if one of you hits along the ground for 10 metres and the other one hits along the ground for 20 metres, you take the ball that rolled 20 metres.
Yep.
So you do it on the hit 10 metres?
You just pick it up.
You just pick it up and you play from the 20 metre one. So safe to say, I hit a lot of grubbers off the ground. We played 9 holes. It took me 9 holes to get my eye in. And then went back, watched the semi-final. Then we watched Nottingham Arsenal, then we watched Leeds Fulham, and then I went home and unfortunately watched West Ham Tottenham. We lost 3-0, but luckily, Cougars didn't score. So basically, it was a win.
It's like Christmas.
every time he got the ball, I was like, oh, no, and he missed or didn't do anything with it. I tell you what, even though he lost 3-0, Malik Diouf had his measure. But he didn't score.
Right on, Jonas.
That's a big win.
Boys, Cookie, what are you up to?
Mate, just quickly, everyone seems to be starting to play golf. I haven't played, but I picked up some clubs from my father. They've been stored under the house for about 20 years.
Oh, you got
so
them.
So I'm trying to revive
them. Playing now.
Yeah.
Revive them.
It's just the peak age to pick up golf, your early 20s. You're starting work.
A quarter-life crisis, what better way to counteract it? By buying golf.
Can I just point out, in the last 12 months, Janus has started drinking and drinking Guinness and playing golf. He's completed life. Oh, he's in his peak phase of manhood.
Drink responsibly, everyone.
As very you important. Do, Janus.
Yes, Cookie, what did you get up to?
I had a bit of an eventful Saturday. I did this event in Torquay called the Surf Coast Century. That is an event. It's a running, race over 100 kilometers. And me and my mate Darcy, we did the Surf Coast Century as a group of two. So we each did 50K. It's like a relay race. You wear like an anklet and you give it to the next person when you finish. And we finished, which was the main thing.
Was it an anklet or an ankle monitor?
No, it was an ankle monitor, Janus.
So you were let out on probation? Very good.
Exactly. We were testing the waters, let's say.
Just not within 200 meters of schools.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it was awesome, honestly. There was like 1,000 people competing. Like, it's funny. You're running along and there's a bloke who's 70 years old in front of you and you can't get up with him and you're like, what am I doing wrong? And he's just like this French dude. His wife comes up to him. He's just, I need Pepsi. He just like downs like half a bottle of Pepsi and keeps running. I'm like, bruh. Hey.
That's a leap.
He's so gaseous. Maybe that makes him go quicker. Maybe gas.
I don't know, but yeah, it's cool.
Was it a struggle? I mean, it would have been hard, but.
Oh, it was a struggle. Yeah. From K like 25 to 35, it was a real mental just fortitude, and then once I hit 40, it was better. Like I finished, I had a good last 10.
So yeah, the middle 10 was like that was the
score. Middle 10 was where the demons came out, and I thought, hang on, I might be in trouble here, but no, it was fine.
Well done, mate. Very proud of you. Good work.
It was a lot of fun. T-Dub, what about yourself?
Me, I hit the range yesterday. And then was just cleaning up the studio today in preparation for this magnificent Jewel recording session. I thought, does the T-Dub studio and T-Dub Enterprise have the facilities to cater for such an event? Apparently it does. Apparently all you need is a pair of 2007 Apple headphones and everything works beautifully.
They're trustworthy.
They are. They never die. We've had these headphones. We've had these earbuds for so long. It's beautiful. But no, not much. Not much. And just watch some footy.
Beautiful. Jonas, I'll let you kick off. What did you think of Friday night's affairs at the Adelaide Oval?
Well,
from an unbiased perspective.
Hawthorn was just so good. They were just so good. I mean, I think the game was really summed up in the sense that first, 3 minutes, Newcombe went bang, bang, bang out the middle. They scored 3 goals in, 30 seconds or whatever. And I tell you what, I mean, I was kicking and screaming in pure rage when that happened. But I think that basically summed up the game. I mean, smashed them around the ball. Defensively, Hawthorn worked so well. Like, I mean, we talked about Hardwick last week, but like players like Impey and Amon really, really like lifted that game. I mean, and then you talk about the midfield. I mean, that's probably where the game was won, but they're Hawthorn's role players. Like, I thought people like Josh Ward and Sam Butler, they're role players, particularly within the middle of the ground. They really like lifted your tackle pressure. Jeez, you brought the heat, and just Adelaide couldn't handle the kitchen. So,
I like it, Jonas.
Yeah.
From a
fan's perspective, T-Gob, you go.
Just keep it short and sharp. Hawthorn's back six are probably the best in the comp. They are elite, and Hawthorn didn't make a mistake, pretty much, other than a couple of not killing a behind in the last quarter.
That was the only mistake really.
Other than that, Hawthorn literally did not make a mistake. Like, they didn't kick it on the full, they didn't turn it over, they didn't kick it over a leading forward's head, they didn't kick along the ground, they didn't have a bad switch. Like, they literally played a perfect game. They did not make a mistake. Super professional. Look, Adelaide, like Brisbane from 2019, just young, not up to it yet. They'll be good. They'll be better for it, but they're just not up to it.
It's all learning. It's a learning curve. I mean, that's where you get with these young teams. I mean, it's good for them to have, you know, experienced the stage and get two cracks at it. You know, at least they get 2 finals under their belt. I mean, it's all experience.
Yeah, exactly right.
100%.
Cookie, fans perspective. I mean,
honestly, I think you guys have summed it up pretty well. Like, I was just happy to win at the Adelaide Oval, to be perfectly honest. That was all. It was just good. And we can put that behind us. Ken's gone. The Adelaide Oval curse is gone. We can move on and we can start focusing on finals at the G where it really counts. That's what I'm looking forward to this Friday night.
I'll tell you what. I never used to be one of those believers of saying, oh, you know, Geelong needs a, you know, sort of Cadinia Park home final. But in situations like this, come down the highway, mate.
Just come on, mate. There's the Westgate Tunnel's being built. Just relax. No one can get there.
Avalon's always open.
It should be a cracking game, though.
Yeah. Well, the prelims, both prelims this week, I mean, arguably the best 4 teams have made it into prelim weekend. And all of the games, or both of the games, 50-50 both ways, you know. Like, there'll be 95 plus both nights. You know, at one point in the year, all 4 teams have been touted as, like, you know, the best team all year or the premiership favourites. Like,
it's actually a good
really,
point.
Really, really, yeah, anyone can win it from here.
Literally, probably like sequentially too. Like, probably in the first 5 weeks, Hawthorn were premiership favourites. Then probably Brisbane. Then probably Collingwood. And now it's probably Geelong. But you're right, Janus. Literally, probably for a quarter of the season, a team has been a premiership favourite. I don't even think it's arguable. I think these 4 teams are clearly. I know the benefit of hindsight, but I think these four teams are clearly better than anyone. Like, you just look at the way, I think more importantly, you look at the way they defend. Because the saying goes, defense wins championships. And these four teams, I don't know if this is statistically correct, but they are, from my very limited analytical eyes, they are the best four defenses going around. Especially Collingwood, just all of them. Collingwood, Geelong, and Hawthorn and Brisbane. They just got elite defenses and defensive systems that stack up.
Yeah. And another thing that I sort of noticed with that as well, like, you're looking at it defensively, but I'm like, from a vibe sort of perspective, all four of those teams, they, like, when's the last time you see any of them sort of crumble, crack? Like, they stay so mentally strong, all of those teams. Like, you look at a team like Adelaide, you could tell that the pressure of the finals, you know, the pressure of the big game, you could tell it got to them. You know, like, they got quite insular and they got really I don't know, stagnant. Whereas those teams, they know how to ride the waves and they know how to stay mentally quite strong.
Yes. Well said, Jonas. Well said. It should be a cracking two finals of the G.
Yeah, good weekend. Melbourne will be absolutely loving it.
It'll be beautiful. We'll touch on the APL quickly, Jonas. We've had a massive appointment. Forrest has appointed Australia's very own Ange Postecoglou as the next Nottingham Forest coach.
Well, current now.
Current Nottingham Forest coach. So, what do you think is a pass mark for Nottingham Forest this year, Jonas, with Ange at the helm?
Well, Forest are in the Europa League, which Ange is currently the reigning.
Oh, true. Good call.
He's currently the reigning manager. So, obviously, I reckon Marinakis is appointing him, you know, because they have a genuine chance to get a trophy, you know. So doing well in that competition is obviously one thing that they will focus really hard on. But for Ange particularly, as much as he sort of, I mean, he's a winger at heart and, you know, he's very dogged in his game style. Tottenham did finish 17th in the league. And I think for Ange, his Forest have to be adaptable in the sense that, I mean, obviously against Arsenal, they lost 3-0. I think that's a bit of a mulligan in the sense that literally Ange got there.
Can't
what,
do anything.
3 days ago. He got there 3 days ago. I mean, he was taking people off the bench. I guarantee you he didn't know their names. He's still learning names right now. You know, like,
you knew the team better than he did, Jonas.
What do you want the bloke to do, you know? So I think once he gets, like, you know, a couple of games under his belt, he can sort of, like, develop his game plan. Like, I think he needs to be adaptable and he needs to be able to defend a lot stronger than Tottenham did last year.
Where do they have to finish for him to have a job next year, Jonas?
Oh, well, Forest had their, where did they finish? They finished like 7th last year, and that's their best league finish in a very, very, very long time. I reckon thereabouts, to be honest, maybe 10th to 7th.
But what if they finished 15th? Would he be in trouble? Surely not.
I think Marinakis likes him. He definitely
avoided
likes
relegation.
Him.
Surely that's his pass.
Yeah, surely.
But I don't think I where Forest are now. I don't think they're an avoid relegation team. I think they're a more of a
challenge, like, Europa.
Maybe
team.
Challenge. Yeah. Challenge for, like, Europa League. Yeah, that's probably where I'd say they're at. You know, they've got some very high quality players like Elliot Anderson, who's an England international. He had, I think, his first game for England over the international break. And in two games, he got man of the match both games. So, you know, he's got real quality on the ball. You know, you've got someone like Morgan Gibbs-White, who is a good player. You've got someone like Hudson Odoi. I reckon Chris Wood could go really well under Ange, like a big sort of...
Feed him.
Yeah, a big unit striker. So
he's so old though.
Yeah, but He's a target man. You get it to Chris Wood, he'll do something.
Just bang it in.
So, yeah, I think Nottingham, under Ange, I reckon they can. I reckon, was it Europa? Like, I think that's sort of where I can sort of place them.
Beautiful.
Well, it's good to see Ange back in the Prem. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
As he should be.
Didn't want to come to the Hammers, though.
Wonder why. About to get relegated. Oh, yeah.
Can you blame him?
No.
To be fair, they beat Nottingham.
Well, that's another... I mean, I know. I just want to give you one stat, sorry.
Ooh.
One stat.
Hit us with it, Jonas.
That is another manager sacking that has come after a West Ham game.
Ooh.
So Nuno Espirito Santo lost to West Ham 3-0. Get sacked.
We don't know who that is.
The Nottingham manager.
Oh, okay.
Really paying attention here.
He got sacked. Erik ten Hag for Manchester United. He lost 2-1 to West Ham at the London Stadium. He got sacked after. Gary O'Neill for Wolves lost 2-1 to West Ham. Got sacked after. So that's like...
So basically, if you lose to West Ham, you deserve to be sacked. Ham,
job's gone.
See you, Pep. Pep Guardiola's going
to
get sacked.
Arteta, Mikel Arteta. Arsenal always lose to us, so...
Ooh.
I like it, Jonas.
I love the confidence.
Anyway. Well, you've got to have something.
I'll share something else I saw today. If you don't know, Saturdays in America are the college football day, I believe.
Yeah.
They play all the college football on Saturday and then all the NFL on Sunday, basically. And there's a thing in the NFL that I love, and it's just in sport in general, and it's just a good big man moment. Yeah. When it might not be the prettiest bloke, it might not be the bloke who gets all the photos, but I tell you what, when he's got the pill in his hands, everyone's watching. Jamal Jarrett, 320-pound, 160-keg, what would you call him, like a defensive linebacker?
Defensive lineman, yeah.
If you don't know what a pick six is, it's when the quarterback throws it and he intercepts it and takes it to the house. And that's exactly what he did for the USC Trojans against Purdue today.
We love that.
We love a big man moment. So I was thinking, lads, what are some big man moments in sport? I'll just kick us off. AFL, a couple key Collingwood ones. We've got Brody Grundy's goal against Richmond in what? When was it? 2016?
2016, round two.
That was... I've never seen the black and white army go from this to this so much. Like...
The crowd is nuts.
You know who that game reminds me of? Alex Fasolo. Did he have a good game that day?
Kick six that night.
Yeah, that's exactly why.
The Faz. Love the Faz.
Do you know, have you heard of Alex Fasolo, Jonas?
Yeah.
Played for Carlton.
He went
too.
To Carlton as well, yeah.
Jeez, that's
he played like two games.
Sure, I was gonna say, surely not. Another key one, Tim, take us through 2018.
Well, the best performance by an American on the MCG, arguably since the 1956 Olympics. Big Mason Cox tore Alex Rance and Richmond a new one. Just took 10 contested marks, which I think is the record for the most ever in a final. That's not completely up to date, but it's something like that. And just kicked three snags. It was beautiful. Just tore him a new one. It was just beautiful.
That was incredible.
Janus, you're taking us to the to a sport that has two different coloured balls.
Yes, I am, Mister the man, the myth, the legend, the Richter scale shaker himself, Rakeem Cornwall.
We're not in the fat shaming Rakeem business, Cornwall. Janus. We're here in the.
By the way, we are big men. Just to everyone watching. Kinda.
Yeah, Rakeem Cornwall. I mean,
not
the
really
only.
Me, but yeah. Rakeem
Cornwall. What is he? He's West Indian. I mean, there's just that clip. There's that clip of him. I think it's in the it's like the CPL or something. And he's on strike. He hits a single. Beats the man in the field. The man in the field gets it. He goes top speed. And by top speed, he goes probably 500 meters an hour. And you literally see him just rolling down the wicket. He gets run out the other end.
He's a machine, big Rakeem.
He's, yeah. If he doesn't hit fours, he should stay on. But, yep, Rakeem.
He's a beast.
Yeah.
And I think iconic. Obviously, the NBA has a lot of big men, given that the average height is about 6'9". But I think probably the most iconic, especially the last probably 15 years, is probably Stephen Adams.
Especially from an Australian point of view, or like New Zealand.
The Kiwi. But even still, he's just so iconic. He's just, like, I love the clip of, like, in the bubble, LeBron is like, yo, man, it's so hard, man. Like, I'm away from my family. This is tough. This is tough. And then it cuts Stephen Adams. Bro, this is like chill, man. This isn't Syria. We're staying in like world-class resorts, man. Like, this is easy. We're still getting to play basketball, bro. Yeah. It was so good.
Oh, I remember that.
It's so funny.
We're in Disney paradise, mate.
Exactly. Literally like just the most, like the GOAT or like modern GOAT, LeBron, complaining about the conditions. To then Stephen Adams, just the most like nonchalant dude. Didn't he stop a fight?
Well, that's what I was thinking. Every time Russell Westbrook would want to throw hands, he would basically walk up to Russ, pick him up, and just move him away.
Yeah.
Like that's what he would actually do. It. He would just pick him people up
and like move them away. Well,
do you remember? I think Draymond Green like fell over and he like caught him midair. I don't know if he remembers that.
Yes.
He's just like, he's a good bloke.
Love Stephen Adams.
He's the BFG.
He was also involved in a fight, wasn't he? Didn't he like?
Oh, I'm sure he was.
Didn't he absolutely like nail someone?
Yeah, big screen setter.
Yes, that must be it.
He just nailed someone.
Yeah, and Cookie, probably the most famous big man in AFL, and the closest to your heart.
Well, I'll tell you a personal story. Especially it's good because Tina and I are together. We would have a fascination about recreating moments and grand finals and anything under the sun.
Yeah,
we'd go to the park. We would grab a footy, and between the two of us, we would recreate entire grand finals, particularly the 2004 grand final between Port Adelaide and Brisbane. We just had a fascination
with one player,
and that one big man is Dean Brogan.
We loved him. we absolutely loved him. We just can't give you a reason why. We were just infatuated with this ruckman, and he was our hero for about 2 years. We just love the man. We'd recreate centre bounce clearances, all kinds of stuff.
We turned Dean Brogan into what I would call an All-Australian captain. He would be kicking goals from the boundary. He'd be doing everything.
Just magically, someone would be, one of us would be standing on the boundary or from 60 metres out, and it'd just be like, the ball magically spills to Brogan.
Kane Corns would tap it to Dean Brogan.
Pretty much. Pretty much. We love the man. Should try and get him on the pod one day.
I'm sure he'd love it.
Dean Brogan hype.
Is he coach someone?
I don't actually know. Hang on. JWS and Port Adelaide legend. No, but we just had an infatuation with that game.
He was an assistant coach for the Giants in 2017. Yeah, that's
there you go.
Roughly what I thought.
He's look at the great man. He's beautiful. Also, that game is famous for the Lynch-Wakeland fight in the goal square. Alistair Lynch's last game, he would have got 10 weeks if he was playing the following season, but it didn't matter. Not one of the haymakers connected.
Because he retired.
Was that before the bounce? Was that before the game?
No, in the first quarter, I think.
Oh, first quarter.
And then Acker and Burgoyne walk up and then like, well, what do we can't like stand here. We've got to pretend to be fighting as well. And they, it's great. Good game of footy that, even though the margin was like 40 points in the end. Very good game of football. Very, very good game.
Went to black, didn't he? Killed him.
Yes.
Yeah.
The making of Kane Corns, that game. Rightly so. That's why he can talk the talk, because ultimately I know he got beaten by 119 points. But ultimately, in that game, he had 37 touches. And then the other grand final he played, he also, like, was debatably best on. Like, so he can talk because he's played, and he's played 300 games.
Who won the Norm in 2004?
Byron Pickett. Kicked two early goals and had a fair bit of the pill. Byron, he kicked a very good goal in the second quarter, I think.
We love that.
We do. We really, really do.
I think it would be good to bring up. We went to an AFL trivia recently and we did pretty well. We only got like four questions wrong. the weirdest questions we got wrong. What was one of them was about the Simpsons and Brody Grundy.
Where Patrick Dangerfield sledged Brody Grundy, and he called him a Simpsons. He called him Sideshow Bob.
What were the other ones?
I think we got wrong. Well, it's that pig one, the Tony Lockett. But,
oh yeah,
and that's just before our time, I guess.
Speak for yourself, Janice. I wasn't there at that point.
Oh, true.
We would have got 2 points.
What else?
We would have finished.
What else was there?
Oh, the Tom Hawkins hitting
the umpire and the St Kilda meat pie.
Yeah, that's right.
It was good though. Too easy though, I reckon.
Yeah. I mean, we got 46 out of 50, and the four that we got 49 out of or 45 out of 52
or something.
45 out of 50 because we got the four bonus points for the drawing and the social media post. Yeah. Yeah, we got 45 out of 50 off the stick. And the five questions we got wrong, like two of them were the pig. So say I was there, we would have got 47. And the three questions, other than that, the questions were so easy. Yeah. It was like who played in the 2010 grand. Actually, that wasn't even the easiest one.
No, like Richmond, what were their three premiership years or whatever?
Yeah.
Like it was stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like it
was Brisbane's three. Oh, and it was like what team is purple and white?
Yeah.
And yeah. Melbourne.
Bang. No, but that was like I needed some detailed stats. I wish we got to the tiebreaker.
Yeah. I was just happy.
What was the tiebreaker question?
2008 grand final.
What was the score of the
Margin in Geelong Brisbane game?
Oh, that's right. That's right it was.
And I leaned over I leaned over to Daff Janus and Cookie and was like, lads. I've got this. Yes.
Now, speaking of margins, a fantastic game of NRL has just finished. You might not be the biggest NRL fan, but you got to appreciate a qualifying final going to extra time and then golden point. Canberra, who spent the whole year working their butts off to finish first, had three chances to win the game and stuffed them all up. Literally on the buzzer, Brisbane had a shot for goal. And Canberra gave away a penalty by clipping the leg of Reece Walsh. Reece Walsh then kicked it and took it to overtime. Canberra had the ball in the dying seconds of overtime, turned it over literally with like 10 seconds left. They were about to score a try and then missed a field goal in golden point. And then Ben Hunt, the hero from State of Origin a couple of years ago.
Yeah, 23.
Yeah.
Dozer.
Scores the winner.
The Pig Trotters.
Wasn't he unlucky for... Yeah, I can't remember. Maybe he never won an NRL grand final.
No, he dropped the ball.
Oh, in the 2015 Broncos.
He dropped the ball, which gave North Queensland field position, meaning Thurston could have the fairy tale.
In overtime in the grand final. Yeah, that's right.
If you haven't watched that game or the highlights of that game, go and watch it.
Yeah, 2015 NRL grand final.
Just one of the most ridiculous games of rugby league ever played. It was elite.
That was the Q clash before the Q clash.
Yeah, pretty much.
Brisbane versus North Queensland.
It was beautiful. The Cowboys. Good game.
Going back to that, the qualifying final, when's the last time Canberra played
finals? I think they were in the grand final in...
2019, they made the grand final against the Chooks.
But they haven't won... In a long time.
Have they played finals since that final?
I think they made it 2 years ago or three years ago. But never in contention since then.
Because I'm only saying that, because obviously I don't watch a lot of rugby. Is it a case of, hello with Adelaide, they obviously went up to it. They weren't, so lack of finals. But obviously,
to be fair, in the clutch, they looked inexperienced. They did not know what they were doing at all.
Yeah, okay. So it's a fair enough comparison.
If they lose next week, it is, yeah.
Yeah, it's different.
I mean, it's different, but
their talent is higher than Adelaide's is relative to the AFL and NRL. They have this guy called Hudson Young, and he is...
So there's a higher ceiling.
Yeah, they're just more talented. The thing with rugby is, right, the players get traded and they move around a lot, and they also play state of origin where the pressure is like arguably more than the club finals. So players gain experience through different means, whereas AFL, like,
loyalty's a thing.
No, it's not that.
Well, staying with the club's a thing too.
No, it's more that
they don't get experience with state of origin.
Yeah, they just don't get the experience in the middle of the year.
It's only club level.
Yeah.
If your club doesn't make finals, you can't prove yourself.
And Adelaide don't play in like I know the Adelaide Oval is a furnace and they play in showdowns, but it's not. I'm sorry. I'm going to offend South Australians here. It is not a Carlton Collingwood at the MCG when there's 85,000-90,000 there. It's not the same. It's just not the same. Like, the passion might be as high, but the volume and the intensity of the stadium is just not the same. So, very rarely you'll get a Melbourne team play like Adelaide. I know Melbourne went out in straight sets 2 years in a row, but like...
But Hawthorn in 2018.
Yeah, but that was different.
It's all right, I'm joking.
But like, you very rarely get a Melbourne team jump and play poorly because they're overwhelmed by the situation. Like, look at Carlton, right? They were bloody gone and they jumped and then they won two finals. Look at Hawthorn last year.
Oh, right. Okay.
Or Richmond, but that's different. They've had experience.
I sort of get what you're saying.
Very, very rarely see like a Victorian club just be absolutely overwhelmed by a finals occasion. It happens, but...
Of course.
I don't know. The intensity of the Hawthorn and Collingwood away crowds would have played a big part. But yes, to put it simply, Canberra are like Adelaide in that they're very young, but they've got more experience and talent than Adelaide would. We went down a rabbit hole there.
I also saw, just the score though, Storm got a win over the Dogs, right?
They did. They found a way. They scored a try in the last 10 minutes to win the game.
No Pappy, no Hughes. I'm pretty sure.
What's his name? The big boy.
Nels.
Yep. No Nelso.
No Nelson.
No Pappy, no Hughes, no Nelso, no problems.
Bang.
Was Harry Grant playing?
Yeah, H played. Yeah. I think Hughes played, but he got like his teeth knocked out or something. I didn't actually watch much of the game because I was watching the footy.
I completely forgot the rugby was on. I was so focused on the Hawthorn game. I was like, beautiful. The Storm have found a way, which is, you know what? The Storm have been, they're like that team that, they're like Geelong. They just find a, like, they just win.
Yeah, but the thing is, perennial.
The Cats have been good for like 20 years. The Storm have been good for 30. Yeah. Like, the Melbourne Storm have claims to be the best organisation in Australia. Like, genuinely, they have been so successful.
What's Craig Bellamy? What's his record?
It's elite. He's never lost a round one.
Ever?
Really?
He's coached 22 round ones, and he's never started a season 0-1.
That's actually really cool. That's literally the definition of six. Like, that is just setting your team up every year.
Yeah, I think he's been the coach of the Storm since 2003. And... they've won, under Bellamy, they've won 5 premierships, not 3. They've won 5.
Did 2 get stripped off?
Yeah, no, I don't know what you're talking about, Janus. Yes, 2 got stripped.
Was that like 07, 08 or something, right?
07, 09. The joke is, right, they won it by the record margin in 2007 over Manly. And then in 2008, Manly beat them 40-0. In the grand final.
Jesus.
And broke their record. And then they beat Parramatta in 09.
It was salary cap, bro.
That really is like the Cats. Yeah. That really is.
Yeah.
07, 08 lost, 09 back to, you know, back in.
And then 2012 they won it. So yeah.
It's funny.
And then 2017, 2020. Oh, yeah. Vunivalu. What a try.
Jeez, the commentators were so upset. Remember, I think Gus. Phil, Gus said Penrith are on top here at halftime. They were down 20-0. think. Remember, or something like
20,
that.
Yeah, 22 zip or something.
And he said Penrith have played about a half. And I'm like, mate, are you watching? Take your Sydney glasses off for a second.
They
mate.
Hate Melbourne. And I love that. We love the Storm. And partly is because all the commentators hate Melbourne.
Yeah, they hate.
They get an underdog.
They hate. No, because it's from Melbourne. They hate the Storm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not often as AFL fans who all go for teams in Victoria that we as Victorians get an underdog. Kind of like.
Yeah, but there's so, like, I feel like it's different.
They're not underdogs, though. They're like the most professional organisation in Australia. Yeah. Like, they're just
annoyed.
Yeah, they just hate Melbourne.
It's like
so
if
good.
Geelong played for an Adelaide team, we'd be so sick of them.
Yeah, right.
I'm sick of them anyway. But anyway, actually, I'll share a quick story. I was running on the Surf Coast Century and I met an Essendon fan on the run, and he said, he lives in Torquay. He's like, mate, you can have Zach Merritt if you beat the Cats this weekend. I'm so sick of them. And I'm like, oh, I love you. He's like, mate, I've lived in Torquay for 15 years. They have been at the top for too long. You can have Zach Merritt if you beat him this Friday. I'm like, oh. Oh, it was funny.
That is phenomenal.
It was really funny. It was like this 50-year-old bloke. It was great.
That's crazy.
Now, just quickly, I'll just inform the audience, the World Aths Championships are happening right now in Tokyo. And look, if there's anything to watch in Aths, it's Gout Gout Run, especially in like a big, like he hasn't been in a massive world comp yet. This is his first one for men's. He's only entered in the 200 meters. He's not racing the 100. I think it's just more because it's his specialty, I would say. So his qualifying race is 9:15 on Wednesday night, and I'm pretty sure you can watch that on Channel 9. So I'll certainly be tuning in. It'll be good to see. Just want to see him against the world's best.
Ditching the front bar for Gout Gout.
Yeah. Gout Gout.
We love him. He's a machine.
Oh, he's amazing.
Hopefully, I mean, every time he's run, I swear he's had the wind with him. So like the records never count. Hopefully one of these days he can do it in like. Hopefully he can break a record.
Oh, he'll break something. Don't you worry about that. He can fly.
Not as much as the high jumper.
Oh,
what's his name?
We're watching a bit of Reith. Reith, Australia.
That's right. He is a machine.
We were watching him just before. He was gliding through the air.
It was beautiful. Along with Brandon Stark and some other dude. Three Brandon Aussies were in Stark. The high jump.
Brandon Stark, do you know who his brother is, Jonas?
Yeah, Mitchell. Yeah, Mitch, yeah.
Spot on.
Biggest GWS fan.
True.
Him and his wife. I think they're like, they've got stakes in it, I think.
The Giants.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
His wife being who? Oh, wait, are you saying that because you don't know?
Yes, no. I know. Alyssa okay. Healy. Okay, come on, okay.
Bruv. I was wondering why he called him that, his wife.
That is offensive. That
sorry, Jonas. I'll take that one on the chin.
Yeah, you should.
I'm going to conclude the pod. Tomorrow's a special day. It's T-Dub's birthday.
Oh.
And the one question for you, it's not really about the birthday. It's more about will the Finns give you a birthday present today at 3 a.m. or will they lose the unlosable?
Well, I'm turning 22. So I feel like it's fitting that Tua throws two tutties and two picks. Or it's Tua's day. Tua throws two picks, two tutties. And the Dolphins win 22-2. A safety to the Pats.
Well, we will see. We will see.
Well, the Dolphins win by 22 points, 34-12. Oh, love. I hate the Pats.
The Pats are...
They're better. They're better, but they're still bad. Yeah. They're still young. They're bad. I'll back my boys in, for goodness sake. If there's anyone from the Miami Dolphins organization tuning into this podcast, for goodness sake, please fix what's going on. It is just so hard to watch. It's like a train wreck. It's so hard. Being a Dolphins fan is one of the hardest things in world sport. And I'm not talking about the Redcliffe Dolphins either. Anyway, well, thank you, Cookie. I appreciate this sentiment.
Happy birthday, Dad.
Thank you. Big game as well between the Jets and the Bills. That's probably the game I'm most looking forward to tomorrow, watching the highlights. I will not be getting up to watch the Pats and the Finns. I will not be wasting my morning watching that dribble.
Well, take it from someone who woke up at 3 a.m. Well, stayed up at 3 a.m. last night. Don't do it.
I will not be
don't
doing
do
it.
Don't do it.
I will
it's
not
the
be
hope
doing
that
it.
Kills you. It's the hope that kills you.
No, Janus, I have no hope. No. You haven't followed sport enough to have like lost hope completely. It's you get to a point and you just lose all hope. I'm at that point now.
You're like, I wonder in like 10 years, Janus, if you'll still be following the habits and waking up at 3 a.m.
If they're playing like they are now, absolutely no chance.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, when Tottenham scored the second goal, I shut it off. I'm like, oh. And I went to bed. Oh, like I turned the lights off, went to sleep, and then I was just like sitting there thinking, but what if we score?
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
And then I put it 5 minutes later, we conceded again. And I'm like, and I turned the light off, went back to bed, and then I went, last time we played, you scored 3 goals in 10 minutes. And I put it back on.
Nothing happened.
Yeah, nothing happened. We lost 3-0. But Cougars didn't score, so excellent.
I had a nightmare last night that the Magic started the season 0-10.
I mean, had a waking nightmare last night, so.
Oh, jeez. Man, I'm just dreaming about Paolo Franz and Desmond Bane. Oh, please.
Well, I think that will conclude episode 28 of the Three Quarter Time podcast. Janus and T-Dub, thank you very much for joining. I hope everyone has a massive final quarter. And I hope your team wins. See you next time.
Yes, sir.